Malachi, and would you turn with me to chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. One of those verses that the church has delighted in for so very long is found in verse 6 of this chapter. It's a joy to know. It's a delight to know. And it's a relief to know that God changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, it has meant much more to me this time, when we have gone thus far in the book of Malachi, to come to that verse of Scripture. Because the Lord is dealing with fallen children of Adam. And out of that group of fallen children of Adam, God the Father gave the Son some people. I heard a man say the other day that if it wasn't for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, when Adam sinned, everything would have been consumed because of God's holiness. And I thought, that's a good thought. We have the promise of a Lamb slain, and that's the only thing that prevented God from destroying the world. He'd already taken steps. He'd already purposed. He'd already done something. Now, I have been greatly encouraged this week, not just by what the reports we get, but I heard of a message a preacher preached from the book of Mark about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he did with that passage, according to the report, what we try to do with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is understood from a spiritual standpoint. If it is only a history book, then we're going to miss the bulk of the blessing. There's no question that it has the right history about things, about our earth, about us, about creation, about the fall, about all those things. No question. But we find it is a delight to go to these passages in the Old Testament and look at them with spiritual eyes and be able to see the things that be of Christ. Now, in that passage of Scripture that is found in the book of Mark about all those folks, the book of Matthew mentions that they were 5,000 men plus women and children. So who's to say how many was in that group? And when it came time to feed them, the disciples had nothing. They had nothing. And that's the way it is with everyone who ministers the Word of God. On our own, we have nothing. And the Lord found out, asked his disciples, well, what among the folks? And they found out of the whole bunch, a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the disciples were right in saying, what is that to so much? It's just a paltry sum. We can't even get started with that. And so I said that to say this, and as this report was brought to me, the preacher said, preachers may find a few fragments as they read Robert Hawker, they read John Gill, they read Matthew Henry, we go to our Strong's Concordance, we go to different places, and we find some paltry fragments. They're not even ours. They belong to someone else, and we're going to borrow them. And if it wasn't for the power of the Lord God Almighty taking what they had so little of. The disciples had nothing in themselves. They found a little bit somewhere else. And when the Lord blessed it, He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. And not only was there enough for everybody to eat all they wanted, it was an all-you-can-eat buffet of bread and fish. But there was fragments left over, 12 baskets full of fragments left over, and it was reported that this pastor said, and that's what we get to ruminate on. Because we can't get our mind around everything that the Lord blesses us with in the messages that we hear, so we get to go home and ruminate on them. There's all the fragments left, there's plenty and much left over. So we hope that as we go through Scripture, as the men go through Scripture, that we go with nothing. We might find a few fragments to share in someone else's thoughts, bring them, and we pray that God, the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, opens that word up to us, and when we are finished, we can go home and we say, there's a whole bunch more I'm going to think about. Because that's what happens when we hear the gospel. We go home and say, boy. And then I've heard the men say, oh, I wish I'd have said that. I wish I'd have said that. I thought of that after I was finished, you know, and that's just the way it is. We'll never be able to say it all. We can't get it right. It's no wonder that some preachers have had Jonah swallowing the whale. We just can't get things right, but the Lord is able to take that, even foolishness, because the preaching of the gospel to the world is foolishness, but to God it's salvation to His elect. So here in the book of Malachi chapter 3, we have a few verses here that have to do with the blessings of God in bringing righteousness to the sons of Levi. Righteousness to the sons of Levi. In Malachi chapter 3, would you read with me verses 3 and 4 for tonight? Malachi chapter 3. And I'm glad it's Malachi because I find it very easily. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Ezra, I'm just about to get over it, especially when I find my marker is there, my string marker. It's starting to open there. But here in the book of Malachi chapter 3, in verse 3 it says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and in the former days. Now, what a statement is made there in verse 3. Now, last time we looked, it shared with us that the Lord is going to come, and who shall be able to stand before Him, because He will be like a refiner of silver or of gold, and also He will be like soap. Now, He's not part soap, and He's not part gold or silver. I stopped for about this long today at one of my junk stores. I like to go in and just see what they had. And one more time, I looked at some silver rounds. And you turn them over, and it says 0.999% pure. There's still some dross. But it's wonderful when we read in the Scriptures that when the Lord presents His church, there won't be any dross. They will be presented without blemish and without spot, just like the Lamb of God is. They will not even have a taint of sin. We're so used to living in this life that we have that we're still practicing sinners. The Lord did not save our flesh. We're waiting to wit, when that will be changed. But right now, we're dealing with it just as He saved us. But He has a being in us, the Holy Spirit in us, in the new birth, that is glorifying to the Son, and glorifying to the Father, and is glorifying to the Holy Spirit, and He will do all things well. Now, it's interesting as we read through here that there is a blessedness about this when we read about a refiner and putting away and purging. So would you back up with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 25. The blessedness when that almighty refiner has fulfilled His promise. He is, and who will be able to stand before Him? Not one. Because we all have dross. We all have impurities. Our clothes, whether we got the outside clean, the inside is dirty. But His righteousness prevails. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 25 it says, "And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin." That's the Lord speaking about what he will do to his people. I'll take away the dross. I will make it pure. You shall be pure, white as snow. I'll take away your sin. I'll give you my righteousness. So it is so pure, and he'll purify the children of Levi. And the picture here. Now, it didn't take me very long to remember, you know, Levi was kind of a... In fact, his dad made a report about it. "You've brought a stench in my nostrils." That's what he said about Levi. And Simeon, they brought a stench to Jacob's nostrils in what they had done. I would like to read Genesis, as we think about Levi. In Genesis chapter 49, Genesis chapter 49, to use this illustration, the children of Levi, and we go back to the progenitor of the children of Levi, and in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 5, we have these words, "Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations." And then back up just a little bit to verse chapter 34, and we have that passage of scripture about Jacob describing them after their activities. In Genesis chapter 34 and verse 30, "Jacob said unto Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land." Genesis chapter 34 and verse 30. You've caused problems. You're a problem child. And then we get over here to the book of Malachi, and we find out these guys are going to have righteousness. One of the most amazing passages of Scripture that has been shown me in recent months was there in the book of Luke. And it's one of those passages that you just ruminate on. There was so much that was brought in that passage of Scripture that has just caused me to ruminate. I get to go out under a shade tree and lay down like a cow and chew my cud, because there's so much in that verse of Scripture. In this book of Luke, you remember the passage about Elizabeth and about Zacharias? In Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, there's room for rumination. It's something to read something, and then it's something to read something. It's something to read it for reading purposes, and it's something to have it read to you or have it shown to you that there's more here. Fragments are all over the ground, baskets full of fragments. And right here in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6, and this is what we find with regard to those sons of Levi. God has worked a work of grace. He's taken a stench in the nostrils and brought them to a point where they will bring forth righteousness. Luke chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5. "And there it was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now notice verse 6. That verse 6 could cover 6 pages. It could be enlarged to 10,000 point type, because it is so full of grace. It says, "And they were both righteous before God." One thing they never boasted in was their righteousness. And we know that Zacharias had a whole bunch of unbelief in him. If it wasn't for the belief that God had given him, he would have had none at all. When it came to himself, he had none. When it came to God, he had a whole bundle full. But he says, they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. I'm amazed that this is in the scriptures, aren't you? This is just one of those verses that is just so full. They walked in all the commandments. They kept the Ten Commandments. They didn't. Their Savior did. And he looked at them in Christ. And then it says, and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The number of words in that one verse of Scripture that talks about the position of God's elect before God in Christ Jesus is just phenomenal. If you don't have some rumination with that verse of Scripture, we pray he'll open it up to you so you can see some of it. Because here is God's people right here. And over here in the book of Genesis, we read about God's people before grace. They're a stench. They're reckless. They're overbearing. And Dad, when he lists the statements about his 12 sons, he says, you are reckless. And you brought discord. And on it goes. Well, in the process of God, in his purpose, he chooses the sons of Levi as his high priest. And it speaks so much that in Christ, every one of his children are made king priests. We have direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ, the single mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So here we have this wonderful statement about that, and it talks about the sons of Levi having this same qualification and same attribute. Over in the book of Acts, there was a whole group of people, a mob of folks, that came down and followed Paul, and he brought it to the group of elders there and said, this is what's happening. And they said, why should we put a yoke of bondage on these folks that our fathers nor we were able to bear? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That's how they were saved in the Old Testament, not by the keeping of any laws. It was only by the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of grace and the work of Christ on the promise that he would go to the cross and the work of the Father that they were righteous before God and not what they had done. And so nobody was saved in the Old Testament without the grace of God. And all that were tasted of the grace of God were righteous. Not one was unrighteous. All that God had revealed his son to were going to be absolutely righteous. It tells us over there that they were a stench and they were trouble. And yet, when God comes down with his word and touches them with his word, reveals Christ to them in the new birth, their station is so different. Their view is so different. I was talking to Brother Wayne the other day, and we brought up that passage of Scripture. We were just discussing that passage of Scripture that mentions about that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not everything has passed away, has it? We're still getting older, still headed for the grave, still sin, still have impure thoughts, still have all those problems, aches, pains, sin. And yet, he said, behold, all things have become new. Now, what's that mean? It means everything about God is new to us because under our old regime, we had no pure thought about God. Everything is new about God. Everything about sin is new. Everything about hell is new. Everything about the Word is new. It's more than history. It's the spiritual book of God. It's what he uses to reveal Christ to us. All things, all spiritual things become new. We didn't have a spiritual thought that was right before God revealed his son to us in the new birth. There was nothing that was right. Everything was wrong. We might have had some verses of scripture and said, I believe that, but we would always attach an addendum. Doesn't it bother you when a good bill is up in Congress and they will attach a bunch of garbage to it? They know they have to have this bill, so they're going to attach garbage to it. I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't do that. He didn't attach any trash to it. He just said, you're righteous. He never said, you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. You have to... The Lord just teaches us from his word that all righteousness is from the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Now, there's another passage that we want to read here in the book of Isaiah. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 64, as it tells us with regard to those sons of Levi, that they'll be refined, they'll be washed, they'll be made clean, they'll be righteous. In fact, that word is used there in Malachi chapter 3. It says that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Can't offer any right offering until we're born again. And then we're able to offer the offering of righteousness. Here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, what a statement is made. And we find that it brought out through the New Testament, it's not righteousness which is of the law. What's wrong with that? It's ours. Righteousness which is of the law, we're counting on what we have done, how many rules we've obeyed, how many of the Ten Commandments have we followed, how many of the statements made over there to Timothy and to Titus about the qualifications of a pastor. I read those, I'm ashamed. I'm thankful for one who kept them. The Ten Commandments. I would like to be able to say, I've kept one of them. I might have for a minute, but I missed on the rest of them. What do we do? It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the new birth that gives us that blessed position before Him of righteous. And here in the book of Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64. And verse 6, it says, and we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. What's the surest way to know that Adam fell in the garden? All die. That's the sure. If we have a question one about did Adam really sin as bad as it's written, all you have to do is check. All die. We may live to be 965 years old as Methuselah did, but on his stone it said, and he died. So that's the surest way to know. And I hate to talk about it, but infants die not because they're perfect, but because they're sinners by nature. They die. We may have our opinion about what happens after that, but we know that all sinners die. Here it says, we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. You ever been out in the wind, saw dust being picked up, thrown this way and that way? It's exactly what that picture is talking about. We are like, sin is like the wind, just picked up and tossed around, and we have nothing we can do about it. Now there is one that can, and one that has, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's turn to the book of Romans for just a moment here. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. As we look at the righteousness that we have in Christ, this righteousness which is not of the law, it's not of our doing, it's all of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Thou that sayest, chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This is the only qualification. And who supplies the belief? I'm so thankful that God takes care of that too. Because left to ourselves, we couldn't believe enough. Boy, I remember in religion all the formula. The formula that preachers had. And most of the time it was similar, but they all had a little novel twist on it, depending on where you went. But it was a formula. And if you did this, and you did this, and you did this, then God has to accept you. You find out we can't do anything, and only are we accepted in the Beloved. Now keep your finger in Romans, because I want to come back there, but there is a verse in Isaiah chapter 61 that I want to read. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Would you turn back there? Keep your finger in Romans, because we're going to come back there just momentarily. Isaiah chapter 66. As we think about this marvelous work that God does to take children of Levi and make them be able to present righteousness. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind. Now, I'm thankful that we're not trapped into looking at this from a physical standpoint, because it would drive us crazy. But if we look at it from a spiritual standpoint, we can say, we just have God coming in all his power. All his power. It says here, he will come. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh. Now these guys are like the Pharisee in the New Testament. I thank God I'm not like other folks are, and particularly like this publican. Now, I'm a Jew and I eat swine's flesh, and once in a while I'll even imbibe and have a mouse. I'll eat unclean things, even though with my mouth I say I am righteous. What's he saying? They're clean on the outside, but filled with dead men's bones. Not because they ate swine or mice, it's because their heart is deceitful above all things. And then it goes on to say here, verse 4, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come, and I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come to and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations of Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, and have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren from an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and among mules. God brings them in various ways, but he's going to bring them to the same place, to the same person, to the Lord, upon swift beasts. Some, it just seems, they hear one time, God works the work of grace. And some of them are like tortoises. You wonder, will they ever, will God ever? But as long as they're still alive, there's hope. There's hope. My holy Mount Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in the clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. I want to make these strangers out of all the isles of the Gentiles my priests. They will be my priests. What does that mean? They'll be my children. I'll make them king priests. I'll reveal my son to them. They shall have righteousness, not their own, but mine. Now going back to the book of Romans for just a couple of more verses. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. Romans 3 and verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Romans chapter 3 verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. To declare his righteousness. And when he does that, we find he's not only just, but he's the justifier. His righteousness declares that. He has the absolute, the only one that has absolute right standing with God. But he has the glorious ability as Almighty God of imputing that righteousness to his children. Amen. And just as clean as Jesus is before God are all his other children. That's amazing. I got room to ruminate. That's just contrary to nature. But we're thankful that God goes far beyond that. He's God. He does whatsoever he pleases. All right, in the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. Romans chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. It's not by the works of the law. This righteousness that we need is not by the works of the law. And he said, Israel, they're following after the works of the law. They don't have righteousness. But these poor beggars out here, Gentiles, they've been given the righteousness of Christ. And they stand, as the publican did, they get to go home justified. There's room to ruminate there. I get to go home justified. I get to go home righteous because of Christ. And the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. This new birth. You know, we don't spend a preparation time or when they become an electrician, they begin as a apprenticeship. We don't begin as an apprentice. we're giving you this much time. When I started teaching, we had 3 years that you had to prove yourself. And if within that 3 years, they could fire you. After that, they could if they wanted to, but they didn't take the time. But anyway, we don't have that with this. Notice this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. It says, and that ye put on the new man, that's the new birth, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The moment we're born again, there's no trial period. There's no, well, we want to see if you can bear up. There's not, well, we'll see if you can prove out. We want to see if you can endure. No. Thank God, there's none of that. It is when He gives us a new birth, we are granted righteousness. And in every sense of the word, that righteousness is really eternal righteousness. It's eternal mercy. It's eternal love. We just get to find out about it. We just find out about it. We find out what we provided. And every time we meet together and study the gospel, we find out some more that we were provided. We're just finding out about it. It's all there. All right, would you turn with me to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him. I get to ruminate some more. Be found in Him. There's a lot said in the Bible about being in Christ. It's mentioned right here. Being in Him. There's room for rumination to think about. To be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not having my own righteousness which is by the law. Boy, the moment we start looking at ourselves and saying, if I don't do that, I will. One more passage, if you'd join me, and that's in Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So He's this righteousness. Now, as we found over there in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, a whole group of folks that would have been right to be thrown out. Nobody deal with them. Don't go over there. Have the same issue that Jonah did. He went to a bunch of Gentiles. My goodness. He went to Nineveh. One of the worst places on the face of the earth. That's East Portland right now. He went down there, preached the gospel. A whole bunch of folks were converted. And here in the book of Malachi chapter 3, among a whole bunch of Jews, wrecks. They were wrecks. All we have to do is read 5 minutes about them and we find a mirror reflecting our own person in them. Religious? Religious. Oh, I'm not religious. Oh, just wait a minute. We'll find out how religious you are. What are you standing on? What are you depending on before God? My good works outweigh my bad works. Well, anyway, here in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3, and He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall do it, and it will be pure. And He shall purify the sons of Levi. And purge them as gold and silver. There won't be a mark on them that says 99.9% pure. There'll be a mark on them by God that says 100% presentable. Without spot or blemish. Without anything to hinder. And they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Thanksgiving We don't go down and offer animals. We are just so blessed. Another room for ruminating. What do we have that's been put away in the death of Christ that the Old Testament saints went through? We don't have any of that to perform. It's so simple. Just be thankful. Spirit of thanksgiving. Well, may God bless us as we wait on Him.